rest of the story. The crimson sun was dipping low in the west behind the little country graveyard in Virginia. It was twilight before the car drove up, parked on the hillside. The driver sat for long moments with the engine turned off as darkness fell, and then he got out. He made his way slowly up the hill to where the markers stood in lonely silence. And there the man stopped, clutching his hat to his breast, and gazed down at one grave, the maelstrom of memories whirling in his brain, comprises the rest of the story. Carey and Garland were the biggest bootleggers in Campbell County. During Prohibition times, they connected with the best moonshiners. They transported their booze in false bumpers and hidden truck panels, and they got rich. To Carey, it was just a business. To Garland, the younger of the two, it was an adventure, an invitation to the party. He caroused with the shadiest of characters. He drank heavily. He experimented with drugs, with one in particular, a stimulant called Veronol. Seemed Garland was always shooting at somebody or threatening to. Sometimes the violent sprees ran him head-to-head with the law, but Carey always managed to rescue Garland from his incessant recklessness and indiscriminate rage. Until the night Garland turned the rage on Carey himself. Garland thought his partner wanted him out of the way, had double-crossed him, so he showed up in a restaurant office where he knew he'd find Carey. He had a pistol in each hand, and he opened fire. Carey kicked out a window and jumped 15 feet to the ground and fled. Garland, his brain blown by whiskey and Veronol, stood at the shattered window, weapons blazing, bellowing, "Damn you," into the darkness. A short while later, Carey returned with a shotgun. There was a mad chase through the bullet-riddled restaurant, and then Garland, his pistol triggers cocked, cornered Carey. There was nothing left for the latter but to wheel about and open fire. As the blast echoed through the building, Garland fell dead with a hole in his chest just above the heart. In an instant, Carey had extinguished the life of his longtime associate, his partner in crime, who was also his brother, his own brother. Self-defense, it was determined, and thus did the law excuse what Carey could never excuse. And so now we have this solitary figure on a lonesome hill, silhouetted against the darkening sky, staring down at the grave of a man he had loved and killed. Forever 25. The twilight visits continued for years until Carey himself, consumed by guilt and booze, joined his brother on the hill. It was Carey's son who watched and wondered as his father slipped ever so slowly into the bottle and finally into oblivion. And the boy knew why. It was the simple fact that while everyone else had forgiven him, he could not manage to forgive himself. And so it was that Carey's son grew up convinced of the need for supernatural forgiveness in each and every life. Until today, you had never met the rum runner businessman and his volatile partner and brother, Carey and Garland Folwell. It's the former's son, Jerry, whom you know. Televangelist Jerry Folwell. Only now you know the rest of the story.